I'm just going to read to you this morning's reading from Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. The words will be on the screen as well. From Paul and Timothy, slaves of Jesus Christ, to the pastors and deacons and all the Christians in the city of Philippi. May God bless you all. Yes, I pray that God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ will give each of you his fullest blessing and his peace in your hearts and your lives. All my prayers are for you are full of praise to God. When I pray to you, my heart is full of joy because of all your wonderful help in making known the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am sure that God, who began the good work within you, will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until his task within you is finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ returns. How natural it is that I should feel as I do about you, for you have a very special place in my heart. We have shared together the blessings of God, both when I was in prison and when I was out, defending the truth and telling others about Christ. Only God knows how deep is my love and longing for you with the tenderness of Jesus Christ. My prayer for you is that you will overflow more and more with love for others and at the same time keep on growing in spiritual knowledge and insight. For I want you always to see clearly the difference between right and wrong and to be inwardly clean, no one able to criticize you from now until our Lord returns. May you always be doing those good, kind things that show you are a child of God, for this will bring much praise and glory to the Lord. Amen. I'm going to invite Rachel up to come and unpack that message to us. Let's just pray for Rachel as she comes up. Father, we thank you for Rachel, and we just ask for your blessing on her now as she shares your word with us. Father, May she hear clearly from you and just communicate to us all that it is that you want us to take from this passage. We just thank you and ask for your blessing on Rachel now. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Nice to be here together again today. I don't know about you, but as I was thinking about this service, albeit the 1st of September, how did it get to be September already? Seems a bit crazy, doesn't it? But it reminded me that over the years, many people have said about this service how much they like coming back together. 1st of September, everyone's been off on their holidays. Hands up for me if you've been away somewhere nice this summer. Been away, been out of Ely, left the beautiful city, but have then come back. And this usually marks this service of coming back together. For many people, is actually that sense of kind of being able to regroup and be back together and look at the term ahead. And that's special, I think, isn't it? And even this morning, it felt to me, as a few people came in and we had the hokey cokey song going on and people greeting each other, we did have that sense of actually real joy and real family to being back together again. I hope that you sense that. And as we wished people well and we prayed, didn't we, for teachers and for for parents and for kids going back in school and young people going to college or university, it's only right, isn't it, for us to rejoice in what it means to be family. And to genuinely pray for each other and genuinely wish each other well, because that's what family is. But it's not always that rosy, is it, family life? And for some of you, you might be in the thick of it. For some of you, cast your minds back maybe to when you had children who were younger or teenagers living at home. But teenagers, you can shut your ears for just a moment. But speaking to the parents, I wonder for some of you, maybe you've had young people off at Soul Survivor or off at university, sometimes when they're away. And even for me, with younger children being away, sometimes when they're away, you know, we feel a bit sad, don't we? We miss them. And you might go into their bedrooms and they look a bit too still and a bit too quiet. And it feels quite sad that they're not there. And some of us even might pine after them and think, oh, you know, it's just not the same when they're not there. And then they come back. And 15 minutes later, when they're in the house and back on their screens and making their demands and raiding the fridge, we think, I've had enough already. You can go again. Does anyone echo that? But actually, from the other side, I have to say, it's probably not all that rosy. I remember being 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. I say this carefully because my parents are sitting over there this morning. But I equally remember what it was like to come back from summer camps. And I was fortunate that from the age of 11, I used to go every year for years on end off to Pathfinder summer camps and then ended up leading them later on. I absolutely loved them. But my lovely parents, as I came home from at least a week being away, either camping or in a big boarding school, used to do something really lovely for me, which was they actually, and for my brother, not just me, but they used to put out these flags. So when I'd come home, there'd be bunting in the house and in the hallway and maybe even outside. How nice is that? And yet for me, thoroughly disappointed to be back at home after a week away with my friends. They'll tell you, I used to come in the door, probably quite reluctantly give them a hug. They'd welcome me back with open arms, pleased to see me home. And they'll tell you, more often than not, I would run up the stairs, burst into tears, shut my door and stay there for the next 2 hours. Because actually, as much as I did like to be home, these friends that I'd made over a week of my life who felt like I'd known them forever, I was missing them already. And I just had such an amazing time with both friends and with God and the intensity of these summer camps, which, as you guys can resonate with, it's special times. So coming back together into the family fold, if you like, is not always rosy or glowing, is it? But it's important. And I apologise now in front of everyone and to my parents for my reaction to them. But the reason I mention this is because not only is this the start of a new season, isn't it? For many of us, September marks something new. It's a new season looking ahead to autumn. It's, for many of us, changes, whether they're big things, whether it's small, whether at school rather, or at college or for work. Something shifts, isn't there? That pattern, that rhythm of the summer actually takes a different turn. And for many of us, that brings about a new dynamic, and family is all part of that. And as we look at these verses and we start our new series, as we said, Carl and Karen will be back next week, and we look forward to welcoming them back with open arms and hearing about all their travels and all that they've felt and heard from God over the last 3 months. But we start this new series looking at Philippians 2. And what we see in the book of Philippians is, as you saw in those words right now, it starts there in verse 1 where Paul writes to his fellow Christians and the church leaders in Philippi, and he greets them really warmly, but it's from him and from Timothy, from their prison cell. What's noteworthy immediately about that is that if you just stop to imagine for a moment that they're writing it from prison, prison isn't all that rosy, is it? It can't have been, even for them. And yet actually what we see is this real warmth of writing to his fellow Christians back in Philippi. And if you read a little bit more about the Philippians and about Paul and Timothy's relationships with them, the reason that he writes so warmly to them is because they were the ones who, out of all of his missionary journeys, actually were the ones who supported him the most. And we read that even while he was in prison, they sent gifts and presents to cheer them on, to be supporting them and to be prayerfully alongside them, even though they were in their prison cell. So what we see is this letter that he writes, and he sends it back to Philippi through Epaphroditus, who comes to visit and bring these gifts, and he writes the letter and then he sends it back. And we see right from the outset what's actually quite a gushing, oozing letter of love and of commendation to them. And he says this in the first few verses that are on the screen there. He says, "May God bless you all. Yes, I pray that God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ will give each of you his fullest blessings and his peace in your heart and lives. All my prayers for you are full of praise to God. When I pray for you, my heart is full of joy because of all your wonderful help in making known the good news about Christ from the time you heard it until now." The way that he greets them there, like I said, is quite gushing, isn't it? In the sense of there's that real sense of warmth and love. And to me, as I read it, I thought there's a longevity of relationship here as well, because he talks about, as today's sermon is called, talks about being partners in the gospel. The fact that, as he said, they've been helpers together in making known the good news about Jesus. And we know, don't we, that as each and every day and at the start of a new term, each and every one of us are called to be partners, not just with each other, but with Jesus in making known the good news. But I wonder how often we genuinely think of each other or speak to each other in the way that he writes to people. And as we speak about family, that's the first thing that I want us to look at this morning. What does it really mean for us as Christians to think about actually how we treat those, not just in our own literal family, but actually in the wider body of the church? I wonder how often we praise each other, thinking about the communities that we're in and that we have here, even at the Countess Church. And in our families, how much Do we actually genuinely think that our prayers for people are full of praise for them and full of joy, and that we can genuinely intercede on behalf of each other, really praying into the things that each of us need? Do we actually wish the fullest of blessings, as it says, for each other, not withholding anything? Because sometimes relationships are complicated, aren't they? And sometimes even though we want to be prayerful and wishing blessing on people, sometimes there's just those little things that might hold us back. And that's realistic, and that's honest of us to think about and to ask God to work in our lives within that. Because sometimes, let's face it, whether it's in our family network or in the wider church community or even in our workplaces, in our offices, in our schools, in our friendship groups, sometimes those little gripes or little niggles or little resentments or bad thoughts just creep in, don't they? Whether that's out of some sort of coveting or wishing of something that people had, whether it's a sense of competition, whether it's wanting to look a certain way or be a certain thing or be in a certain position. We all know that because we're fallen human beings, these things just creep in. And then we have to learn to recognise them and to deal with them. Because if we don't, these things can get in the way, can't they? And they can hold us back. And they can hold us back not only from the blessing that we can receive from God, but also hold us back from the blessing that we can then be to the people around us. So not to over-spiritualise that for us, but actually we need to be sharp, don't we, to recognise those things that can creep in. Just those little niggles, those little resentments, as we've said. Because we know, don't we, that we have an almighty God that we want to serve and love and get to know more day by day. But we also have an enemy who doesn't like that we serve an almighty God. And actually, let's face it, these little niggles, these little resentments, these thoughts, these feelings, things that aren't of God can get in our way. And the enemy can seek to just grow them and twist them and turn them in our lives if we don't recognise and try and nail them really quickly and really promptly. Whether that's on our own, bringing them to God in prayer, as we said earlier on, or whether that's sometimes making ourselves accountable to people around us, speaking them out, getting people to pray for us in them, and trying to nail them as quickly as they've arisen so that nothing will get in our way. Well, Paul has this genuine love and heart for love for these people, doesn't he? And he might have had some of those niggles along the way as well. He was a fallen person like us, and he was in no way perfect. But he does speak to us through what he writes to them, that we are called to love one another. And as we see from these verses, he is surely somebody who actually had Jesus' heart for the leaders, for the fellow Christians that he lived and worked amongst, and no doubt struggled with at times, but actually can write in this way to them. We're called to love one another. We're called to be one body of people living for Jesus and striving to serve him. And in that, we're called to be ultimately incredibly diverse, aren't we? Wouldn't it be boring if we were all the same with our gifts and our talents? He writes of this too through the book of Philippians, that we are called to joy, called to serve one another, but called to be unified, ultimately to be different, but to still to be one in Jesus, to be integrated and living as one people, for the sake of God's kingdom. But not only that, through our love for each other, as we often speak about here in church too, we're called to model something, aren't we, that looks very different in the world's eyes. We're called to model what it is like to live in community, healthily and loving one another, bending over backwards at times to do things for each other, but to show those around us what it is to be Jesus to them. So within that, there's no room for anger or feuds or long-term discontentment or jealousy. There's no room for unkind words or things said behind people's backs. There's no room for self-comparison, which can often creep in and just stir up those things, which is difficult at times for all of us, because God made each and every one of us and values us and loves us the same. And just on that note of comparison, I like this phrase that I've used in various school assemblies, I think, over the years when I used to do them. But there's a quote you might know that Theodore Roosevelt said, and it is this. It says, "Comparison is the thief of all joy." You heard that before? A few of you are nodding. Comparison is the thief of all joy. And I just throw that out for us today, because actually one thing that can really creep in to our midst, being family and being friends, is sometimes just to look at how other people are or what they have or what they do. And yet, actually, out of a heart of love for ourselves, love for God, and love for each other, we need to dig deep, don't we, to know that God made us unique and how we are and with something to offer. And so being family is to value each other, to rejoice on behalf of other people, but also to dig our roots deep into God and to know how he made us. So we're called to love other people. We're called to be family. We're called to rejoice on behalf of others and to be genuinely happy for their successes too. But in that, I felt it was right to actually say, sometimes we said right at the beginning of the service, I think Andy said, so many times many of us are struggling too with difficult situations, whether that's with depression or feeling broken, feeling grief, whatever it may be. And actually being family too is being real, isn't it? It's not pretending to be feeling joyous and be gushing with love for other people if sometimes you actually just need people to love you. And I just felt that it was right to say that actually sometimes it's okay not to be gushing in that sense, but actually to just be able to say to the one or two or to the whole church, please just pray for me in the middle of not feeling so loving at the moment. Because again, that's what family is, isn't it? And we need to hold other people's arms up when they're struggling too. So the example in this first bit of Philippians talks to us about how we should truly cherish each other, call down the fullest of blessings upon each other. And as we start out into a new term, maybe with new thoughts of all that is to come, with challenges ahead of us, and with new beginnings for some of us, that actually we can be encouraged, that we can partner together in the gospel to make God's love known to the people around us, and particularly both here in the church, but also in the wider setting. So let's just try, as we think of family, to be really grateful for each other as we start out into this new season. As we said earlier, September often marks, for me certainly, maybe for some of you, almost the start of a new year. We talk about January being the start of a new year, don't we? And some of us will make our New Year's resolutions, some of us will keep them, most of us will break them. But actually for me, September feels more like the start of a new year because of sending kids back to school and projects that come up and things within the workplace or things that we're all involved in. Maybe some of you share that same thought as well. But for many of us, well, particularly of parents of children who are at school or college or going off to university, actually the start of a new year always comes with a lot of kitting people out, does it not? Josh, getting stuff together to go off to university, going off to sixth form, going into New Year's school. This weekend, probably for a lot of people, is getting uniform out, getting the kit out, buying the crockery, kitting out Abby with her new homes. We've seen all these things that as family we just have to do, don't we? For me, for Darren, a lot of it is all about football, you won't be surprised to hear. The kitting out of the new football boots, or the new AstroTurf boots, or the shin pads, or the new match kit, or the new training kit. And believe me, our house is full of quite smelly football boots, but also a whole lot of kit. Because that's what you do, isn't it? When you look ahead, you get equipped for the season that is in store. And as I was thinking about this, many of you all know my life is completely doomed with an Arsenal season ticket holder and two boys who are also obsessed with football that I speak about probably all too often. But actually for me, I have to equip myself too, because even standing on the football pitch just yesterday with Isaac training and Jacob playing a match, I stood there and said to a couple of friends, here we go again. Because it's fine standing there in a nice summery top in September, but actually what looms ahead are months of standing on a football pitch, freezing cold, and literally to the point where I remember last season, literally not being able to move my feet to walk off the pitch after standing there for an hour and a half because of the freezing cold. But I have come up with a plan. And Ron, if you could show the thing, this is what I'm going equipped with this year. I figure I would do well to invest in some of this kit to be fully equipped so that I like this one particularly. If you see somebody that looks like this down at Ely City Football Ground or down at the Hive, then that'll be me. I particularly like that last one covered up to here. That's just silly, isn't it? Girls, you can rest assured I'm not going to go out looking like that. Piece of cardboard. That's a good idea. Stand on a piece of cardboard. My point is that actually when we're called to a task in hand and we start a new term, or we go into maybe back to just our normal regular life, or maybe into something new, we have to go equipped, don't we? And for me, that's where I'm going to go equipped. Also in Philippians, Paul speaks of exactly that, how that we look at the task in hand and how we need to be equipped. Paul writes to his treasured friends and he talks about actually, he talks about this sense of joy and of rejoicing, despite the fact that he's in prison. But he talks to them too about actually knowing God's call on our life and stepping up to the mark for all that lies ahead. And he talks about in the midst of that, even though some of that comes with intrepidation or fear or anxiety, whatever that might look like, he talks about being grounded in the knowledge that God is faithful and that he will equip us for all that he calls us to do. So there is no place for fear in the midst of that, because he will equip us for all that he calls us to do. Verse 6 says this. It says, with certain assurance, says, I am sure that God, who began the good work within you, will keep right on helping you to grow in his grace until his task within you is finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ returns. As I read those verses a couple of weeks ago and was simmering over it before preparing for today, I loved those few words that just said, for I am sure that. Because it just spoke to me, just in reading that, that absolute reassurance and assurance and remembrance of actually God always being with us. And I wonder if I gave you just a moment to think of actually a time or two or three in your lives, which hopefully you can quite easily recall, of when God has been ultimately faithful to you, loving to you, answered promises. I hope that it wouldn't take you too long to be able to recall those. And sometimes that's so helpful to actually have a moment to just remember what God has done in our lives, because it brings us back to that point of standing on certainty that actually God will fulfill in us and be with us for all in all that he calls us to do. There's a certainty there, there's a promise that when we commit our lives to God, he doesn't just walk away, does he, and leave us to it. He assures us that he doesn't leave us to our own devices, but his commitment to us is that he will always be with us. That he'll keep on helping us grow, keep on helping us to move forward. And until that day when Jesus returns, he is always with us, partnering with us so that we can share his good news to others. So let's just remind ourselves of his faithfulness as we start out in this new term ahead. And I've just got a few verses which I haven't got on the screen, but I'm just going to throw out there because they speak of the power that there is throughout the whole word of the Bible of God and Jesus speaking to remind us of just how faithful he is to us. For example, Joshua 1 verse 9, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Isaiah 41 verse 10, fear not, for I am with you, do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Deuteronomy 31, 6, be strong and courageous. Again, do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Matthew 28, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Romans 8, for I am sure that neither life nor death, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present or things to come, nor height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And lastly, I want to remind us of God's love for us too. The Lord your God, Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love, and he will exult over you with loud singing. I like that verse at the end, be familiar to many of you, but that sense of God just pouring out his love over each and every one of us and equipping us for the task in hand. So just as we started off at the beginning thinking about wardrobe, thinking about the silly things of standing on the football field, just like you might go from a summer to a winter wardrobe if you do that, my encouragement to us all is that actually looking at the task, looking at the season ahead, Philippians encourages us that God too will equip us with all we need so that wherever we go, he will always be with us. And lastly, just briefly before we go into communion, Philippians 2 talks about God's faithfulness. The last slide is God's fruitfulness in us and through us. We've been watching at home, I don't know if any of you have seen, but I've caught a couple of the series of animal babies. Have any of you seen that? There's some, I don't know if it's David Attenborough, I'm not too sure, but certainly Jacob and Isaac have been fascinated, as usual, watching nature programs and Darren too, but watching how animal babies learn to walk. It's fascinating. Have you ever noticed? Or been at a zoo or at a farm or sometimes when babies are born. And the reason I mention this randomly is because I think there's something in watching how animal babies learn to walk or to fly that actually speaks to us too about some of what actually Paul encourages us to think about in the book of, or the start of Philippians. Because actually, if you can have the pictures up, Ron, if you notice when you see animal babies, look at those. I thought I might get some oohs or ahs there. Look. If we flip back, actually, one run there. No, it's fine. What you see, don't you, is these babies' birth. I'm always amazed at the speed at which animal babies learn to walk. Why do our babies take so long? Although it's a good thing, because as soon as they get on the move, our human babies actually are everywhere, aren't they? We can't keep our eyes off them. But what is interesting, if you ever see a little baby giraffe being born, or a baby elephant, or you see a little donkey, or from the other pictures, is that actually, particularly the giraffe I'm taken by, if you've ever seen those, they kind of stumble with these amazingly long legs for being something so small. And as I've seen before on a YouTube clip, I think the boys were showing me at some point, or on this programme, you see them stumble out and collapse, and they try and get moving, and then they collapse, don't they? But what I noticed, and this is what struck me particularly, is that most animal babies will get up and give it a go, but then they always retreat to the parent before then they're kind of nudged out to give it another go again. And it's the same with birds. If you ever see penguins or birds or on clifftops learning to fly, they often try and give it a go and then they retreat a little bit back to the parent before then having to try and try and try, don't they? The reason I mention this is because actually in the book of Philippians, Paul too encourages his fellow Christians to keep growing gradually in that confidence and in fruitfulness. But what he also does is encourage them to keep retreating in order that they might advance. I don't know if you've heard that phrase before, but I like that sense that we must too retreat into God before we're able to advance. Just like the babies have to learn gradually, the words in Philippians 1 also encourage us that we too need to retreat into God in order to be fully equipped to be able to be fruitful and to advance. And verse 9 says this: my prayer for you is that you will overflow more and more with love for others, and at the same time keep on growing in spiritual knowledge and insight. So Paul says there's no cop out here. We need to grow in more and more love for each other. But at the same time, the only way that we will be able to do that with every bit of faithfulness for the task in hand and being fruitful is if we learn to how to keep coming back to God, keep coming back to be filled with his spirit and keep seeking God, so that we too gain strength, gain courage, gain confidence to know how it is okay to learn to retreat to then be able to advance. So my encouragement to us as we draw to a close is that actually whatever the task in hand looks like for you, whatever challenges you have on your plate, however you're feeling, whoever you're supporting, all of these verses in Philippians call us back to, don't they, the heart of what it is to be family and to be loving to other people, but also letting other people love us. And my prayer for us would be that this becomes a term and a season where, again, especially welcoming Carl and Karen back too, that we learn how to even more be loving towards each other and growing in grace and forgiveness and obedience together as we serve God. That too, from these verses, and as we go on to look at Philippians over the next few weeks, that we will also grow in faithfulness, recognising God's faithfulness, that he will never leave us or abandon us. And last week we've looked at that for all of us, whatever age and stage we're at, whatever we're going on to, that actually God will encourage us to regularly retreat into him, be bolstered up, be filled with his spirit, to grow in stature and confidence and the knowledge and the love of him, so that we too would advance. And as we're talking about this morning, to be partners in sharing the gospel with the people around us and to share his good news effectively with the people that we come into contact with every day. So let me just pray for us, and then we're going to go into communion slightly differently today. Let's just pray. Father God, we do thank you for these words in Philippians. We thank you for the example of Paul and of Timothy, that even in a difficult place, of being imprisoned in Rome and all that that would have thrown at them, Lord, we thank you that they were still faithful to you and could give us a good example of what it is to truly love other people and to be witnessing to people, even from a place that may have been very challenging. Lord, I pray for each one of us here this morning. Jesus, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, would you just be equipping us, each and every one of us, for all that lies in store for us, even this week, even today, Lord, for as we go home, as we prepare, as we look to the new term ahead, and whatever that means for each one of us. Jesus, would your Holy Spirit just bolster us, as you said, with that confidence in you, knowing that you will never leave us or forsake us. So Jesus, as we come to this communion table too, in just a moment's time, we pray, Lord, would it be a moment where we could quietly in our hearts respond to you, asking you for what we need, and would we really know your equipping for all that lies ahead? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.